Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible. Now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this evening to Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to take the two scriptures Brother Brown refers to
in the next paragraph. For we are his workmanship, not ours, his. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Before when? Before the foundations of the world. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now it's different. But now in Christ Jesus, he who sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Notice he has broken down that wall, that dimensional wall that separates us from this carnal human form, from him in that heavenly spiritual form. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one man. Notice, from twain, from God and from man, making him into the God-man. So making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which were not. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. In other words, he's not dwelling in temples made by man, he's dwelling in men. And Hebrews 9:11. For Christ, which come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For in the blood of, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we read two scriptures here that Paul is speaking of a change from an old to a new, from a carnal to a spiritual, from a death unto life. So Lord, we just pray that knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ, having his blood shed, it allowed your Spirit that was in him to be released back upon us, giving us access through that blood, the shedding of the blood, into your eternal heavenly abode. And so Father, we just commit, Lord, our understanding of these words that the Apostle Paul spake to us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if we are to purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God, then won't there be living works that will replace our dead works? And what are those dead works that we are purged from? Now, tonight, I think, is going to be very eye-opening to all of us. I tell you, when I went through this afternoon, I just wept like a baby. The things of the Lord were just opening up. To realize that we are definitely turning a corner. We're moving into him. Now this evening, we're going to pick up paragraph 154 from Brother Branham's sermon, The Token, preached September 1st of 63. And I want you to listen closely to what Brother Branham is saying, because there are many whose God has died and no longer shows signs and wonders. To them, the days of miracles are past, and to them, God only works through one man to do signs and wonders. And therefore, any signs from God or any miracles that God actually does today, they do not agree that it comes from God. and they want to assign it to the devil, or they want to assign it, or they just actually they'll say it really not it's not God doing it, but some imagination of the people's minds, the people's hearts, you know. they'll say, well, you know, those sins that you say God did, well, you know, we don't really believe, we don't really know if it's certain or not. Well, tell that to Brother Samuel and take his daughter who was just healed of typhoid fever and ulcers through prayer. Tell that to the young couple in Uganda who had tried for many years, I guess it was 8 years, they tried to have children, they couldn't have children, and after laying out of hands, that couple now has 4 children. Tell that to Brother Cliff from Kentucky who had his heel amputated and God blew it back after prayer. Tell that to the man who was paralyzed in Minnesota with 2 rotten, deteriorated discs who God grew back new ones. Tell that to the man who was raised from the dead in Jeffersonville a couple weeks ago. Now tonight I'd like to read very carefully what Brother Brown is telling us here as we continue in our study of the token and as we pick up in paragraph 154. He says, if you wanted to read that, to read something here, my scripture I got wrote down for this is Ephesians 2 and verse 12. And if you want to put that down, I notice Ephesians 2 and 12, when you read it, it says that we don't serve dead works, but we serve a living God with living works. Amen. Oh my. With living works and living signs. You believe in living signs? Also, put down Hebrews 9, 11 to 14, if you want to put that down. Living signs, living works, and apply that. Not dead creeds. In other words, they're talking about, look, people are just focused on the creeds of their church, the doctrines of their church. Forget it. I'll take my boy over to a church and see he joins the church. Some fine Christian boy here, a good friend, an old buddy, a real fellow, he come down here, was baptized, and his mother said, I wish you went to a bigger church if you want to be baptized. See? He just didn't want old dead creeds and things. See? Now, we don't serve dead creeds and dead gods. We serve a living God whose blood was shed back there and the token has been applied to us that we live also. Amen. Yes, sir. Don't serve some dead creed. They even deny such things as the token. They say the days of miracles is past. There is no such a thing as a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why join something like that? See? Don't do that. Apply the token, then serve the living God for living works, living signs, signs that heal the sick, raise the dead, foretell things, speak in tongues, interpret every time, perfectly right, prophecies, it says this and such a thing will happen, show signs in the heaven above and on earth, signs and wonders. Amen. Speaking exactly what the Bible said would take place, serving the living God, applying the token. So what's he saying? He's saying we've got to go beyond that which is dead. Dead works. Now, we need to know what those dead works are. We already know, be partial, that they're creeds, because he's brought it up several times. But notice he says in paragraph 157, now, they think it's crazy to us who believe and know the truth. We know it is a living presence, for it does the same thing that it did when he was here on earth. Now, notice, it's a living presence. Too many people, you know, the presence became kind of a doctrine. It wasn't a reality, it became a doctrine. Back in the 80s, you know, people talked about the presence, but their lives didn't show it. They were doing things and living all kinds of ways, and their life wasn't showing that they believed there was a presence. But Brother Brown said, it's his living presence, for it does the same things that he did when he was here on earth. Amen. Oh, they say, they just imagine that they see in the pillar of fire. Oh, no. We don't imagine nothing. They thought Paul imagined it too. Egypt thought that Israel imagined it, but it taken them to the promised land. Yes, sir. We don't. In Hebrews 13 and 8, you know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you're putting that down, see, that he's the same. It ain't, they say it's some imagination. Well, it was no imagination that the picture took the, you know, the camera took the picture, and the camera took the picture. And over in Africa, the camera took the picture. No, that's no imagination. It's a reality. 150 people saw it with their own eyes. Now, I'd like to examine what Brother Branham is saying here as he's quoting the Apostle Paul concerning the dead works. And notice Brother Branham said, it says this, that we don't serve dead works, but we serve a living God with living works. Amen. Oh my. With living works and living signs. You believe in living signs? Also put down Hebrews 9, 11 to 14 if you want to put that down. Living signs, living works, apply that. Not dead creeds. So Brother Branham is defining these dead works here as dead creeds. And Brother Branham calls that dead works. Now, the American Heritage Dictionary defines the word creed as any system or doctrine or formula of religious belief. Any system or codification of belief or of opinion. Therefore, as creed is man's ability to codify or theologically explain his beliefs, then dead works are any of that and all of that. Now, the Apostle Paul had been showing us in Ephesians 2 and Hebrews 9 that all the religious rituals and doctrines of the Old Testament that dealt with the slaying of bulls and goats that somehow brought peace to the believer and allowed access to God were not considered dead works in the light, are now considered dead works in the light of the fact that the very blood of Jesus Christ being shed has now given us access to the very same Spirit of God that dwelt in Him.
Amen.
Now, notice then, if at the first, at the second Exodus, they had to abolish the dead works in order to move on. We're going to look at what Paul says here, because in Hebrews 6, he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. So we're looking here at dead works, and we want to know what they are. In his sermon, Hebrews 5 and 6, Brother Branham says, Heavenly Father, they're coming by faith through grace, and there's about a dozen hands that went up. It's the fruits of the message. They come to you if they believe. I believe in them too, Lord. I believe that truly the Holy Spirit spoke to them, and by faith they're coming right up Jacob's ladder right now, right up to the foot of the cross. They're laying down all their sins and saying, Lord, it's too much for me. I just can't bear it any longer. And will you take away my load of sin and take the desire out of my heart to do so? And let me by faith this day receive you as my personal Savior. And from henceforth I'll follow you every mile of the way to the end of the journey. I catch a glimpse of what it means to go on to perfection. Not going into church and the roots of dead works like baptisms and so forth. But I want to go on until I can be no more and Christ can come into me. So when he's talking about laying aside the doctrine of Christ and all the stuff that goes with it, all the teachings on baptism, all the teaching on laying on hands, all the things that have to deal with this flesh, laying it aside, not disbelieving it. Now listen to what he says. Not disbelieving, but laying it aside in order to move on into perfection. So we need to know what the dead works are, what the perfection is. And we're finding out the dead works is just church. It's tradition. It's doctrine. It's creeds. Now, those things are all good. And Brother Barr said, we believe all those things, but we have to move on beyond. We have to come into Christ, or we're lost. He says, but I want to go on until I can be no more and Christ can live in me. Now notice that Brother Branham is telling us that the dead works here are things like baptism and traditions of the church. But I don't want to stop here, or we'll just get a wrong understanding of what he's telling us. Again, he says from the same sermon, he says, I said, but sister, I don't care. The blood's still around you. This world's covered over with blood. If it didn't, God would kill every one of us, everyone. And when that blood moved, look out for judgment. Now, if you die without that blood, you go beyond that place. Then there's nothing to act for you. Today the blood acts in your stead. And I said, lady, sure, the blood still got you covered. As long as you got breath in your body, the blood has got you covered. But someday when the breath leaves here, the soul goes out, you'll go beyond that blood, and there's nothing, just judgment. Now, while you got a chance for pardon, I took her by the hand, and she was crying. And she said, Brother Branham, I'm drinking. I said, that don't hurt. Something another has warned me to tell you. I said, God, before the foundation of the world, called you, sister, and you're doing wrong, and you're only making it worse. And she said, do you think that he would have me? And I said, absolutely, he'd have you. And there on her knees, we got down in the middle of that floor, had an old-fashioned prayer meeting, and that police officer took off his hat and bowed on one knee. And there we had a prayer meeting in that place. Why? Because God is sovereign. Laying aside these dead works, let us go on to perfection. Let's move into that realm where there's, well, I believe I belong to the church and I belong to that. That's all finished. And let's go on to perfection. Now, I can say by experience, having talked to many of you, that you've already experienced this in the last few months, what I'm talking about here. You're moving away from just, it's just church. It's just
creeds. It's just a doctrine. We've got to know the doctrine. We've got to intellectually understand these things. And you're moving into a relationship. And you're moving into a life. Okay, so we're getting a little bit closer to seeing what he means by laying out for us as dead works. He said it's church going and belonging to this or to that. Again, from Hebrews 5 and 6, he says, now, 1 Corinthians 12, how do we get into that body? By shaking hands? No, sir. By joining the church? No, sir. By being baptized backwards and forwards in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the name of Jesus Christ, the name of Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, Morning Star, anything you want? That has nothing to do with it. Now, listen. What Brother Brad was saying here would go over like a lead balloon in many churches today. That has nothing to do with it, just an answer of a good conscience towards God. And yet we fuss, and we stew, and we argue, and we split, and we make differences, and that's right. But all of those are dead works. Now listen, he's talking about joining church, being baptized, forward, backward. In other words, he's saying, look, getting the methodology of the baptism right, the form of the baptism right, the name, the titles right, all of that, and yet we'll fuss about all that, but that's not it. That's dead works. But all those are dead works. We're going to perfection. That's the thing that I do, that I've done. A minister baptized you, whether he baptized you face forward, backward, or three times, four times, or one time, or how he did it, that has nothing to do with it. You're just baptized into the fellowship of that church anyhow, proving to that church you believe the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Laying on of hands to heal the sick, that's wonderful. But it's all natural, and that body will die again. Just as certain as you're living, it'll die again. Now let's lay aside all those things and go on to perfection. Oh, Brother Branham, I thought that Mark 16 was a good thing. Yeah, he didn't say it wasn't. He said, but it's dead works. Now listen. I don't want you to go fanatic and say, well, we don't do these things anymore. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you've got to turn the corner and you've got to come into Christ. And die to yourself and let Him live your life. Okay, so now notice, he not only calls baptism in water dead works, but healing and laying on of hands dead works, he calls it. And he calls all the church-associated things that we do in church dead works, and he says those things are all right. We believe in those things, but those things are not where perfection lays. He says those things are where all the fusses are over, whether you use the right formula for baptism or the right method and all. But as good as those things can be, they are not where perfection is at. And yet, this is where most churches come to. This is where most people come to. Oh, I got the baptism right. And they stop right there. Again, Hebrews 5 and 6. We could take it verse by verse, each one of these things. Baptism, well, we believe it. There's one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We believe that there's a baptism. We believe in the resurrection of the dead. Absolutely. We believe Jesus died and rose again. We believe that. Laying on of hands for the sick. That's what it said. These signs shall follow them that believe. If they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. We believe that. But what is that? Paul said it's all dead works. It's something that you do. Now let's go on to perfection. Oh my. In other words, it's not in the things that you do or cannot do. It's not in the methods. It's not in the formulas. It's not in the creeds or the doctrines that you believe. Perfection is none of those things, and yet those are the things that the churches hold on to in such a way that they rule everyone out who doesn't do them the way that they do them, and they say they're wrong and we're right. And yet, the prophet of God is telling us they're dead works. He continues saying, well, coming into the tabernacle, not the foundation of the tabernacle itself. That's the foundation, the law, and the righteousness, and joining church, and being baptized, and laying on the hands. That was all orders of the church, but now, let's go on to perfection. And there's only one that is perfected, and that's Jesus. How do we get into Him? Through the Methodist? Nope. Pentecostal? Nope. Baptist? Nope. Through any church? No. Roman Catholic? No. Oh, brother, I hope that tonight
we're going to strip everyone here bare to the bone.
We're going to strip all your theology to the bone so that you'll have no baggage that's going to hold you down again. All these things are important to doing what is right and thus what is righteous, but they are all important to help you to understand the things of God and help us find our way along life's journey toward the perfection. But just remember, you can have all these things right down pat and still not make it to perfection. These are only tools. Like doctrine is a tool, healing the sick is a tool, laying hands is a tool for healing the sick, but they're not what perfects us. And we're going to find out tonight what will bring us into perfection. Again, we read Hebrews 5 and 6. Now he says, leaving all the doctrine of Christ, all the theologians, and all the theology that we know, all about the deity of Christ, how he was God made flesh, all these other things. In other words, all the little things that we sat in awe for years and watched and we thought we had to know. All the little intricacies of the Logos and Logos coming out of Logos and all of these things. And he says, all the theology that we know, all about the deity of Christ, how he was God made flesh, all these other things. Paul goes on to explain it all here just in a few minutes. Let's just read it just a little bit before we get to it. Laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Now, we believe that. And faith toward God. Well, we believe that. And of the doctrine of baptism and just how that you must be baptized. Well, we believe that. And the laying on of hands. Well, we believe in laying on of hands, don't we? See, all that, sure. And of the resurrection of the dead, we believe that also. You see, almost anything or everything that the church stands for, Paul says, lay it aside. All the churchianity, all the church traditions, everything, lay it aside. He's not saying don't disbelieve it, but just lay it aside because that is not where God is taking us. He is taking us into perfection, and perfection is only in Christ. All those things are part of this tabernacle of this church, but that is not our goal. That is not where we will end our journey. Our journey here is to take us right into Christ, right into the presence of God Himself. Again, Brother Branham says, now, but God then became in another type of tabernacle, and that tabernacle was who? Jesus. And God was inside of Jesus, and He was hid. But He was reconciling the world to Himself by His expression. Christ revealed God. He said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. I do nothing in myself, but what I see the Father doeth, the Father in me, showing me these visions, and then I go, I do just what the Father told me to do. And I can show you a half a dozen, I can show you more than a half a dozen, I can show you a dozen quotes. Where Brother Ram talks about these visions, he said, you're actually going into, when you see that vision, you're actually looking into another dimension. He said, you're actually changing and you're actually looking through dimensions until you come to that dimension. He said, you get it? God was inside of a human body, not behind goatskins, died, but was a living, moving, and God had hands, God had feet, God had tongue, God had eyes, and it was Christ. There He was. Now He went away, and the Spirit come in that through His death, He might perfect the church and bring the church submissive. You see? Same as Jesus did. Right down to the very last wire. He brought full submission. And then the same Spirit that was in Christ is in the church doing the same thing Christ did. A little while and the world will see me no more, yet ye shall see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Now see, he's referring to laying hands on the sick. Paul says, you know, in Hebrews 6, laying hands, which is one of the orders, one of the forms that we go through. But see, that's not John 14:12. Where we go to is John 14:12. Because when we're in Him, His nature is in us, His life is in us, then whatever He did is going to happen.
Amen.
Because sheep, they don't produce wool, they just bear. Now let's continue. Now listen to this. But Christ becoming a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of His building. He wasn't made of hands. How was He born? Virgin birth. Neither by the blood of goats or calves was this body ever sacrificed or sanctified, but by His own blood. You know that the blood comes from the male sex, and then somebody said, oh, Jesus was a Jew. He was not a Jew. Oh, we're saved by Jewish blood. No, we're not. If we were saved by Jewish blood, we're still lost. Jesus was not Jew. Neither was he Gentile. He was God. God the Father, the Spirit, the unseen one. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared him. He manifested God that what God was. Now his church is supposed to manifest God to show what God is. Now his church is supposed to manifest God to show what God is. See, what do? Organize ourselves. I'll have nothing to do with them. They're Methodist. They're Presbyterian. I don't want nothing to do with any of them. I'm Baptist. I'm Pentecostal. Huh? You're lost with them kind of motives. Right? Who can brag? Who can say anything? Look at the disgrace the Presbyterians have brought. Look at the disgrace the Baptists. Look at the disgrace the Catholics. Look at the disgrace the Pentecostals and Nazarenes and Pilgrim Holiness. Look at all the rest of them. But I challenge you to point one hand in disgrace at that. He's talking about Christ. Look at the rest of them, but I challenge you to point one hand in disgrace at that. Yeah. Point one finger. When God Almighty said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell in. Hear ye him. There he is. That's the perfect one. Now listen now. For the blood of bulls and goats and asses and heifers sprinkled the unclean and sanctified through the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge our consciences from dead works? In other words, from a focus of being in the church groupie, or being in the church, leadership, or, being whatever. It's not about that. Purge our conscience from those kind of things, those dead works, to serve the living God. Pass from death unto life. What do you care what the world thinks? I know some of you could care less right now. I'm thankful for that. What do you care what your neighbors think? Our conscience has died. And we're regenerated and born again by the Spirit of God to serve the true and the living God. There you are. As Brother Branham said in 1950 in Los Angeles, the Holy Spirit speaking through him, but it was his voice. He said, William Branham has nothing to do with this. He just lent me his body. He loaned me his body. I'm using his body. That's what God wants for you. Pass from death unto life. Pass from death, from dead works, from churchianity, unto living works. Pass from creeds to actually becoming alive in Christ. Pass from doctrines to becoming a living epistle, known and read of all men. Now, let me read again from the token, this time the one preached to follow up this one in February 8th of 64. Brother Branson, we read in Ephesians, the second chapter and 12th verse, about what God said about it when he applied this token. Now notice, serving the living God with living works and with living signs and with living token. Not dead works and carnal, not dead works. Hebrews 9:11-14 tells us again the same thing. Not dead creeds, but a living token. These creeds deny that there is such a thing as a token. They don't even believe that there is such a thing as a token, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But we who believe in the Word, we know better. We know it. And it's His living presence for us in this day. We separated from dead works, and the Holy Ghost comes in to confirm the Word and to make it so. Hebrews 13:8 proves that to us. Proves that God has raised Him up for us according to His promised Word. Thousands of years has passed, 2,000 almost has passed. But what is it the token still holds that God raised Him up on the third day? And if you just got the Word, that's all you got. But when the token is applied, then Christ is reality. Not become. Christ is reality to you. And He does today like He did then. So it throws it right back in their lap again. They can't get around it. God promised it, and here it is that the token has got to be applied. He takes the token, and when? So where is this to take us to? From a church person to a son of God and a daughter of God, filled with the very nature, filled with the very life, filled with the very character that was in Christ. and then reflecting the very same God light to the world that he reflected. Now we know that when Brother Branham went into a vision, he actually saw into another dimension. And don't forget that what you are here is what you are somewhere else. And he said in a sermon looking for Jesus, he said, now, what is the seer? What is the vision? It's another dimension. So we are in the process of leaving behind all the churchianity. We're leaving behind all the doctrines and creeds and forms and order of the church. And we're moving into perfection because we are moving into Christ himself. Brother Branham said in a sermon, Questions and Answers, he said his faith sets his destination. Where he's headed for. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that you do not see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. But by faith, when he catches the word, it sends him into a dimension, see, that makes it so real to him. Now, you have another body waiting in that other dimension. Brother Brown told Brother Hickerson, I saw you over there. And yet Brother Hickerson's body was still over here. Brother Brown said he saw many, many of them. Paul said, when this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Now, notice, remember, faith is seeing what God sees, right? So, when you step into faith, you no longer see Gary Keller with a blue shirt and brown slacks on. You're seeing Gary Keller at 20 years old in that theophonic or glorified condition.
Praise God.
And your life is reflecting that. But by faith, when he catches the word, it sends him into a dimension, see, that makes it so real to him. Till he just as good as got it in his hand, he knows it's going to happen. And don't forget what the Lord showed us. Now, faith, revelation, is the substance of things hoped for. It is the hypostasis. It is the person that we hope for. And it is the evidence that we cannot see because it is the life of that person in us. And we know him by the power of his resurrection in us. And that is how his spirit bears witness with our spirit because it is the same spirit that raised up Jesus and it is the same spirit that is quickening now our mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in us. Look, in closing, Enoch, a type of the bride, walked with God and had this testimony that his life was pleasing to God. And so he walked with God until he just walked right into that higher dimension. Notice after 32 years walking with God, Brother Branham became a changed man and knew no longer any fear. And just think, after speaking to the storm and all those years of praying for the sick and all those great, mighty things of God that came through the vessel of that man, and after watching all that power move at his word and go away, that storm, then God said to him, walk with me. That's what it's about. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So it doesn't matter whether you're here or there. You're still walking. He's still here to hold your hand. He's still here to walk with you. I don't know how many times I come in here and I pray during the day, and I'll come over and I'll pray in that second chair there or the third chair in. And I'll be down maybe 10, 15 minutes and I'll start to get up and that sweet voice is, stay a little longer. I get back to my knees and I stay again. He wants our fellowship. Enoch walked with God until one day that walk became such a reality he just stepped into the same dimension as God. We got a catching away is going to take place. I believe it will be something like that, brothers. We are living so close to that other dimension right now, I can almost feel it. And its persuasion, its influence upon us, it's influencing the way we act, the way we talk, the way we live. God said to him, walk with me, and that's it. Brothers and sisters, you've got to start walking sometime. So
So today is as good as any day to start that walk until you walk right out of here. Get your eyes off of everything that so easily besets you and turn your eyes upon Jesus. From the countdown, Brother Branson, now. Do you know what? Astronauts is no new thing. What about Elijah? If he wasn't an astronaut, I never seen one. He went where John Glenn never did think about going. Why? Well, you know, they had one took off in slow motion one time. His name was Enoch. He just walked on up. But he was an astronaut, sure. He was pressurized. He didn't have to be changed. Nothing. No. He was already pressurized when he started walking. He just walked right on out of that, of all the dimensions and everything, walked right into the presence of God. And so one old fellow was tired and couldn't walk very good anymore. And he had fussed with Jezebel and her short hair and paint and everything until God just sent down a chariot. He said, I'll just let you ride on up to the clouds this afternoon. That's an astronaut. From the message that time, he said, and I looked, and here come a bunch of men, looked like millions of them, coming from this away, and they all had on white robes, and they had like shaggy hair hanging around their neck, and he was grabbing me and screaming, "Our precious brother." And I said, "I don't know." I turned around, I looked, and there I was laying on the bed. Now, wherever it is, it ain't very far from here. If it's another dimension or what, I can't say. But I looked back and I seen myself laying on the bed. I looked this way and here was these people. And if I say perfect, it wouldn't make it. It wouldn't make it. If I say superb, I can't find the English word. There was no yesterday, no tomorrow. It was all now. And sickness, no sorrow. No sickness, no sorrow, no sin, no tiredness. They didn't eat nor drink. They didn't sleep. They didn't have to. But yet they were beings. And they put their arms around me. And I feel it just the same as I feel my own hands like this. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we realize, Lord, we're living in the Jubilee, the year of the Jubilee. The four blood moons, the two sets of two. Two sets of two is a witness. Blood representing death, the moon representing the church, and we see the church is dying. But we know, Father, that as the light totally leaves the church, there's a bride that's going to walk right up and right out of this dimension into another. Help us, O God, to become aware of you in your presence in the dimension that you live. And help us to come to the place, as Brother Branham did, where we can be so aware that we're getting ready to go home. That one of these days we'll just step right out of this dimension into another. Help us, Lord, not to be focused on churchianity, on the creeds, the dogma, even on the physical forms and orders. But help us to be focused on one thing and one thing only, and that is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song, "I Know Whom I Have Believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day."